Hi guys, it's the That's What She Meant podcast. I'm Sylvia.
And I'm Gia.
And we are back. And I know we took a week off. We decided we're going to start doing every other week. So we have more and more stories to tell you guys.
Also, school is stressful.
Yeah. Also, realistically, we are so busy. But here we are. And we're excited to talk and tell you guys everything that's going on because we started clerkships.
We have so much change, I feel like, since the last time we recorded a podcast. And so it's
so
really
much change. Like, we are different people now.
We're basically doctors, kind of.
I think, like, we are a doctor. I think a patient called me doctor today. So
a patient also called me doctor, and I was like, not yet. And they were like, well, you look like one.
Oh my God, what a high compliment.
I know. I was like, wow.
Usually mine are like, can you get somebody who's a little bit more experienced?
Like, I've got that too, don't worry. Honestly,
that's fair. Yeah. Honestly, yes, I can.
So true.
So true. But yeah, we started clerkships. We have officially been going for a week, which feels like the longest week of my life.
I am so tired from my week in psychiatry that I don't even understand how tired you are because you're in internal medicine.
Yes, internal medicine is like next level tired.
Why don't you just talk about the hours and like what your day-to-day looks like?
Yeah, so basically, for those of you who have no idea, because I've had my parents ask me this and I've had random other people ask me, internal medicine is like all the medicine that's not everything else. Like that's not really helpful, but it's like every adult medicine, especially in the hospital.
Yeah. And
it's like everything combined. We see basically anyone who's not like a surgery candidate or like cancer or any of those big things, we see them. So because of that, we have a lot of patients and a lot of time that we spend with them. So my hours are like rounds start at 7 or sign out. So I usually get there at like 6:30 in the morning. And I also do pre-rounding in my bed at 6 a.m. So I'm really starting work at 6 a.m. And then the end can really change depending on the day, but it can go anywhere from noon I get out. So like a short day, or like a long call day, I don't get out till like 8 or 9 p.m.
You've gotten out at noon before? That's interesting.
Yeah. Post-call days. So like post-call, the days after long call, we don't get new patients. So we just round on our current patients and then that's it.
I see.
So it kind of rotates every like 4 days. You have a different, or every 4 days you have a long call. So each day is different. But it's always, you always have to be there at least at the latest 7 a.m. And we also have to work 6 days a week.
So wild.
I only get one day off. And if it's a late call day, we can't take it. So like yesterday, which was Sunday, I had to be in the hospital while all my friends were like at the beach living their best life.
But you'll get it. You'll get this stressful schedule over with first, I feel like. And you're really enjoying it, so.
I love it, you guys. I'm putting this on the record because, you know, I'm probably going to not remember that I like medicine in a couple of months. And, yeah, I really like it. It's really cool. The patients are all so awesome. Even the sassy ones, I've actually decided I really love difficult sassy patients.
Yeah, I'm sure you do.
Kind of my jam. So I can give it right back to them, and I love it. Yeah, it's really interesting too. It's cool because it's like, I feel like it's most of the stuff that we learned for the first 2 years, and then you kind of like you see a lot of it. And so it's nice to actually see some of those diseases that I thought I would never see in real life and like remember them because of like an actual patient, which I think is probably different than psych because not that much of the first 2 years of medicine are focused on psych.
This is true.
You definitely, it's, I feel like I'm like, oh my God, every day I'm like, oh my God, I didn't think that was real. Oh my God, this is a real thing. Like, and just so many things come into play because patients don't have just one condition.
Yeah.
Like everything that we learned, like, oh, I have heart disease. This is what treats it. Like, okay, fine. But then it's like, I have heart disease and I have liver disease and kidney problems. And like so many more things come into play. It's like a giant puzzle.
Yeah, that's actually really interesting. I'm excited to like see more than just psychiatric conditions, I feel like, because yeah, while patients that I've seen do have other conditions, it doesn't really come into play when I'm going in to see them to do like a mental status exam or something. You like just kind of go in and do that and they're seen by like an internal medicine doctor, medical student or whatever. So yeah, that's really cool. And I feel like also, I feel like I wanted you to describe each of the components of things that you do. Like what is sign out? What is pre-rounding? What is ground? I feel like that was something that I was really curious about like before getting into the third year.
Oh, totally. I mean, most of this I didn't even learn until like a week ago because we were given very little explanation, but we had some really great fourth years who helped us along. So basically the day, so internal medicine is like a whole team of people. There's, I think there's like four or five medicine teams throughout the hospital. So our patients are all dispersed throughout the various hospital floors. And so our team consists of two third year medical students, a fourth year medical student, two interns, a resident, and an attending. And so usually what happens every morning, we'll all get in at 7 and we'll do sign out, which the sign out, the night team will, whatever interns were on overnight will just fill us in on the patients and say, oh, nothing happened, or, oh, I gave this medication, or this weird lab came back, or whatever might happen overnight. They just fill us in. And then usually we go and round. And that basically means we like walk around the hospital and go see all of the patients. And sometimes we do that where I round and I see my patients and then we go as a team. And then sometimes we do it where we all just go together. And so we're walking like the eight of us, like a little squad through the hospital, and we go and see every patient on our list. And I am not kidding you guys. It takes way longer than it seems. Like you think it's going to be, oh, like we'll just go say hi to the patients and it'll be quick. It takes hours.
I thought rounding would be like at most an hour, and that is not the case.
Literally like 4 hours. Like sometimes I am an old person. I had to buy new insoles for my feet because my shoes and my back and my whole body hurt from the first couple of days of just walking for 5 hours. It's crazy. And so we walk around and we see everyone. And as we're walking around, there's a lot of teaching that happens. So we'll like present on the case, and then whoever's patient it is will talk about what's going on overnight and whatever. And then like the attending will ask us questions about the disease process or medications or whatever. And like use that time to teach us like different things. And then we'll go see the patient. And then usually when we come out, there's also some sort of teaching that needs to happen. So it's a lot of learning. My brain actually feels like it's going to explode. There's so much learning.
I have a question about like your patients. So like you have patients, you know, the other third year medical student that you're working with has patients. A fourth year medical student has patients. Are any of those overlapping?
No. So all of us med students are assigned patients, and then we each have an intern who overlaps with us. So one of the interns will also see your patient, and they will like sign off that you saw them together, and that they agree with like whatever you wrote in your note. So usually Right now we have a pretty small full unit, but we usually have, I think me and the third year both usually have 1 to 2 patients. And then the fourth year has like 3 to 4. And then there's a couple other ones that like the interns have on their own. But, and then, you know, above that, the attending oversees literally all of them. So we just like fill them in on everything that's going on. But it's nice because we only have a couple patients, but I usually get them from their admission, which can be like either the emergency department or if they're coming from like the medical intensive care unit, they can like basically not need that intense care and they can come back down to medicine. So we'll get them from that beginning point and then follow them until they are discharged.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. That's so cool. And like, I feel like, how long are people usually staying? Is it really varied?
It's so varied. Like my first patient was like a couple days, like within the first week she was in and out. But like we have patients that have been there for weeks.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Like well, there's a patient we saw today who had been there for like almost a month or two.
Whoa. Okay. That's interesting.
Yeah. And like, I think there's things where like, I didn't realize certain like antibiotics, like the courses are 6 weeks long. And when you learn that, you're like, oh yeah, 6 weeks. And then you're like, wait a second, these people need antibiotics. And most of the time,
IV antibiotics for 6 weeks.
It's a really long time. Yeah. And so stuff like that. And then there's people, I think part of the issue with our current healthcare system is that there's a lot of people who need some sort of assistance, but not necessarily hospital level assistance, but there's not enough placement for those people. There's not enough coverage for the type of care that they may need. So there's a lot of people where, you know, case management is trying to find a good fit for them for rehab or, you know, whatever their needs may be, and they can't find it at the time or there's no available spots. So they just end up staying in the hospital, which is just sounds like part of the big issue of our medical system. But for that reason, we have patients, yeah, that are there for like very long time.
Right. That makes sense. Yeah. So that's in the morning. But what does your afternoon look like?
So then in the afternoon, we do consults. So if there's any other teams that we need to talk to, like we'll consult infectious disease if there's like antibiotics we're not sure about, or consult heme if there's like, you know, platelets that are low, or you know, any blood results that are weird. And then so we'll do that, and then we'll write our notes.
That means the consults mean you're calling someone from another department and saying, you know, this is what's going on with my patient, can you help out? What's going on.
Yeah. So you call them and you talk and you basically get them to join the team for however long they might be needed. And they're all like the experts in the field. Medicine's kind of like everything, but then off of medicine, you can go into all these other fields and specialize further. And so those people are the ones we call in when we're like, I don't know how the kidney is going to react to this. And then we're like, let's call the nephrologist, and they'll come and they'll consult with the patient and they'll give us their recommendations. And sometimes we follow them, sometimes we don't, but it's nice to have like recommendations from these people who like their whole life is this one organ system or these, you know, drugs and bugs. They love drugs and bugs. So we do that. And then we write notes, which is usually just a progress note every day. You only need like a new history and physical if they're like new to our service. So every day we'll just do a progress note, and the progress note just like entails like how the night was, any new changes in labs, any new physical exam findings, any new symptoms that they have, anything like that. You just talk about, and then like the big portion of the progress note is the plan. And that's where we like spell out, okay, this is what, these are all the things they're here for, and this is what we're doing for them for the next 24 hours or however long it may be. And you just keep assessing that. So we work on those. And then there's honestly a lot of like weird gaps of time in internal medicine where like we're not on call yet, or but we're done with notes. So we do a lot of teaching. Our residents love to teach. And so they'll take us, you know, into a conference room and just be like, okay, let's talk about cirrhosis. And they'll just like, we'll just go through everything and like spell things out, which has been awesome. It's great to like hear how people see things in different ways and how it actually applies to clinical medicine. And like, they'll be like, oh, that's not a test we actually use in the real world. Or, oh yeah, like on your tests, it'll say this drug, but in the real world, we use this drug.
I love when the residents do that. They're like, yeah, for the exam, you need to know this, but this is not what we do in real life.
Exactly. There's so many things.
So helpful.
So helpful. I'm like, good to know that I'm just learning that for no reason, but very helpful. So yeah, that's like what, and then, you know, whenever we're done admitting patients, and you finish your notes for patients, we'll just head home. And the admitting patients depends on the schedule, but basically when your team is on whatever call it is, you are the team that's taking any new patients into the hospital. So if there's any emergency room department patients or anybody else in the hospital who needs to come to a medicine floor, we take them. And that schedule rotates depending on your team. But could be some days we get 5 new admissions and some days we get 1. So you never know like who you're going to get and what's going to happen. So it's very kind of up in the air what your schedule will look like. It's like a semi-consistent schedule, but some days I get home at 10 and some days I get home at like 2 p.m. So it's hard to know.
It's unpredictable, but I feel like that's the nature of it, you know? Like, if more people are coming in, they're coming in. And if no one's coming in, then, like, you get to go home.
Yeah, and, like, my attending made a really great point the other day, which I had never thought about internal medicine, because I came into medical school thinking, like, I really want to, like, work with patients where I can have, like, a continuation of care, and, like, I really want to build a relationship with these people, and blah, blah, blah. And I always thought that like hospitalists and like internal medicine didn't have that opportunity because the people are there for however many days and whatever.
A point of clarification, a hospitalist is an internal medicine doctor that works in a hospital.
Great call, because I honestly just recently learned that, like maybe last year. I forgot about that. Yeah. From internal medicine, you can just work in the hospital. And that's what most of them do. He was made the great point, like, yes, the patients are only here for however much time. And there's a lot of things we can't take care of, like a lot of preventative things that they don't deal with, but he doesn't have scheduled appointments. So he can go and sit and talk to a patient for 2 hours if he wants to. And I was like, oh, wow. Like, that's really awesome. I'd never even thought of it that way. Like, 'cause I was really concerned that I was, you know, taking up too much time and not doing effective short interviews. And he was like, I don't want you to learn that. I want you to keep the compassion and stay with these people. Like, he's like, that's the reason why I love internal medicine, because I can go sit and talk to someone for hours. And like, yeah, they might only be here for 3 days, but I can get to know them a lot more than I can in a 15-minute appointment once a year.
That is such an interesting point.
Isn't that great? Like, I never thought of it that way.
Yeah, I didn't think of it that way either.
And I was like, wow, that's really awesome. Like, great point.
I'm sure he gets to know people maybe much better than someone's primary care physician does.
Yeah. Yeah. It was like kind of eye-opening to me. I was like, oh, whoa. Like, I had this whole vision of why internal medicine may or may not work for me, because, like, you know, I want to be like really well known to my patients. And he was like, yeah, I can do that, even if I'm on once a week or for 1 week at a time.
And I feel like that makes such a big impact in someone's life if their physician in the hospital like comes and sits with them for 2 hours and talks with them. Like, that could potentially change someone's like life and like course of treatment.
Totally. Yeah, so it's been a great week. I have literally learned.
You had one day off.
I know. I've been.
You made the most of it.
Yes. I went to the beach and got a tattoo, sorry mom and dad, and have just been, yeah, and like caught up on laundry, and it's so lame that that's like the happiness in my life, but it is.
And doing laundry and like cleaning is honestly just a good way to like refresh your mindset, you know. I firmly believe that.
Yeah, totally. So I'm sure it's very different than your experience, but I can't wait to hear everything about psych.
Yes, we're going to take a little break, and then when we come back, I'm going to tell you all about my week in the emergency department.
All right, welcome back, guys. Gia, let's hear about your time in psych.
Okay, so I started off psychiatry for a week in the emergency department, and now I'm in a different place, but I will kind of flesh out what I did in the emergency department because I feel like it was pretty interesting and I saw a good variety of patients for like what I expected, at least. Like, I didn't think there was going to be anyone in the emergency department. When I got there on Monday, there were like 5 people. So I was like, okay, this is going to be interesting. But
you like jumped right into it.
Yeah, I kind of jumped right into it. I mean, the rest of the week after that was a little bit slower, maybe like a couple of people a day, but there was like a lot of people to see on Monday. So that was kind of exciting. And I was like, oh, there's actually stuff to do in psychiatry. And it's pretty interesting.
Oh my God.
But I guess like my hours are much less intense than what Sylvia has described. I got there at like a little bit before 8, and I usually left around, I don't know, 4, 4:30, definitely before 5. So yeah.
Less.
It was definitely more consistent because the attending and the residents that I was with also had pretty consistent hours. Like, they came in at the same time and they left at the same time. So like the attending would dismiss all of us together and be like, you can all go home. There's no one being admitted. So if you're done with your notes, then you can go home. So it was like pretty consistent in terms of that, because there's another physician that like is in the emergency department at night. So it like just kind of rotates between like those 2 people. So that was like kind of nice that I knew pretty much when I was leaving, and like it was a surprise if there's no one that came in at all during the afternoon, then I would get to leave a little bit earlier, which was cool. But yeah.
With what time do they finish accepting people like the day?
Technically 4:30.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's not bad.
Yeah, not bad at all. I mean, if people come in after 4:30, then they're seen by the physician that takes over at 5.
Well, like night.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So I was with 2 residents and 1 attending in the emergency department.
Wow. Such a small team. It was just the four of you guys?
Yeah. And I was the only medical student, which was really nice because I feel like, I mean, it was good and bad because I feel like I was asking so many questions and I didn't know like what was expected. First of all, it was my first week. I was like, I have no idea what's going on. I was in a hospital that I've never been in before. And like, it was stressful in that way, but it was also kind of nice because they were like, that's the medical student. Like, she probably doesn't know anything. This is her first week. So like, whatever questions she asks, I was like, probably fair game.
That's so good. Yeah, I feel like that was one thing I was so worried about. And they all have done such a great job being like, no, you don't need to know anything. Like, it's okay to ask the dumbest questions.
I'm a very much a question asker. Like,
yep, same.
I will ask everything.
Yep.
And like, it kind of made me feel better once I realized that the residents I was working with were interns, and that means that they just started residency like 3 weeks ago. So they're like, you know, 2 years older than us. They are brand new as well. And they're like, honestly, just there to help. So
yeah, everyone was super helpful.
That's intimidating.
So do you go and see patients by yourself, or do you guys all go as a team?
So I didn't go see patients by myself in the emergency department just because of, like, first of all, COVID, and then also, like, psychiatry patients, they aren't right now letting medical students see people by themselves for the most part. And because it was my first week, like, just a combination of those things, I always went with a resident. And then if there was, like, any concerns about, like, the patient's behavior, or if they, like, had come in, you know, under the influence of a substance, or they were, like, had violent behavior or whatever, then a security guard would also come with us just to kind of ensure everyone's safety and make sure that everyone was feeling comfortable. Because again, like, in the emergency department, you don't really know what you're stepping into when you, like, go to see a patient, which is very intimidating. But yeah, so I didn't see patients by myself for the first week.
That's understandable. I feel like I would be so nervous.
Yeah, I was nervous. I was very nervous. Like, I went with a resident. I, like, interviewed patients first while, like, the resident was there and watching me, and then they would, like, jump in with additional questions that I had missed or whatever. But yeah, I was always with one of the residents.
Yeah. So was there a schedule for how you saw your patients, or did you just see patients as they came in with psychiatric complaints to the ED?
So in the morning, there was a schedule because there are patients that are coming in overnight, right? So, like, they're seen by the physician who's there overnight. They kind of write an admission note that the residents will then review in the morning, and then they'll go and see them, like, according to when they came in, or, like, according to who is the highest priority to see first. But then, like, as you said, the nature of an emergency department is that people can come in at any time. So once someone comes in, and I think another thing that was super helpful is that the social workers in the emergency department are, like, really, really involved. So they will, like, go and see a lot of the patients first, and then also get something called collateral information, which is, like, when you call, like, family members or other people that saw the patient before, like, the event that brought them into the emergency department happened, just to get a fuller picture of, like, what their life was like, what they were doing, what their mental state was, kind of that kind of information. So that's something that the social workers do. That's something that the residents also do, and the physician that I was working with. But it was super helpful to have, like, social workers on the team as well, because they're, like, really well equipped to handle those kind of, like, difficult conversations with, you know, people's family have observed, like, the behavior of the person that came into the emergency department.
Awesome. That's, like, really smart. Like,
yeah.
I think we realize how important those people are in, like, coordinating care and, like, getting a fuller picture of the patient. And, like, they do so much in internal medicine too that I never even realized, with helping coordinate rides or helping coordinate aftercare and all of these, like, home health. Like, we love social work. Great. Great.
I love it. And, like, I got there a little bit early on the first day because I was, like, really anxious about, like, finding the place, obviously.
Same.
So I was, like, there before the doctors and the residents arrived. And so I, like, saw a patient. The social worker was just like, oh, come with me and we'll, like, see this patient. So I saw a patient with one of the social workers first.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
What is your least favorite thing about psychiatry in the emergency department?
That's a good question. I mean, I feel like, especially right now, a lot of the stuff that we're seeing, although people may have, like, other compounding psychiatric diagnoses, like, the reasons why people come into the emergency department are pretty consistent. And the decision-making process that you go through in the emergency department is either, like, admit or discharge. And like, you're not gonna follow the patient after they're admitted or discharged. So it's like, you see them for a really short period of time. You have to make a quick decision about what to do. And then they're just kind of like gone. And I feel like that's tough for me, because like you were saying, I'm also very interested in having that like continuum of care with someone. And I feel like just seeing someone for like, honestly, you might see them for 15 minutes and then be like, oh, they're fine to go home. Like, we're going to discharge them. And you like never hear from them again, maybe, which is, yeah, which is kind of stressful. So that's probably my, that's probably the reason why I'm like not necessarily that interested in like that level of like working in that environment, I guess. But yeah.
And did you see patients outside of the emergency room, or you were just in the emergency room for the week?
I was just in the emergency room for the week. So psychiatry clerkship is a little bit interesting because we go to different environments throughout the 5 weeks that we're doing our clerkship. So I was in the emergency department for a week. Oh, and another thing that I forgot to mention is that I saw ECT, electroconvulsive therapy.
Literally so cool.
Which was so cool. And it was like one of, I think one of the only procedures that psychiatrists do. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Like they did it in the emergency department, or like from someone who came in the emergency department?
No. So the doctor that I was working with, she also does ECT.
Okay, okay,
so it's cool. Not to do with the emergency department. These are like
old call.
I know that would be very aggressive. but basically what it is, or like why you would do ECT, is essentially for people mostly with depression, but could also be for other mood disorders. All the people that I saw had depression, and I think that's like the most common reason why it's done, but it could be for a bunch of different things. And it's for people who have gone through, you know, the medications and they're not necessarily working for them. It's kind of like a second or third line treatment that a patient would go through, but it can be like super, super, super effective for people, which is awesome. And like, I feel like I always see this as like, there's not any contraindications to it. So like, you can do it in elderly people, you can do it in pregnant people, stuff like that, which sometimes you can't take like antidepressant medications if you're pregnant, for example.
That's
cool. And I got to like do it, which was very exciting.
What do you do? Just press like a button or something?
Yeah, you basically just press a button. You press a button for like 15 seconds.
Whoa, that's so cool. That is like so exciting.
Yeah.
The surgeons who are listening to this are probably like, oh my God, that's not even a procedure, pushing a button. But I think that's cool.
Well, I mean, we went into the OR, you know, and like,
then it's real deal.
Yeah. Then it's like a procedure, I think. Right. I had to wear an N95 mask and like, it was, yeah. So
it's real deal. Yep.
Real deal. And it's actually very interesting, like just the process of it. So like, it's done under general anesthesia, and they also have like muscle blocking agent administered to them, succinylcholine. And then you like put these two electrodes, right, and like administer this electrical current, and it causes them to have a like seizure, essentially. And so it like looks really scary when it's happening if you like don't know what it is. Like, I don't know, I went with the doctor, and then there was like another person, like a social work intern who was working in the office, and she was like, oh, just come along, like you can watch this, everyone should like see it at least once. So she also came, and she was just like, whoa, like what is going on, because she didn't know what to expect, she didn't know what it was.
Yeah.
She's like, this is really like weird and scary, but I mean, it's honestly super helpful to people. They like come back for it, and it can like really, you know, change the course of someone's treatment. So,
wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's like so exciting.
Yeah.
That sounds like a great week. I mean,
it was pretty interesting. I mean, it was a really good first week just to like get exposure to different things, but I mean, I learned how to do like a psychiatric HPI. I learned how to do a mental status exam and stuff like that, which I mean, is very consistent in like the field of psychiatry. Like you'll probably have to interview patients like that pretty regularly. So it was a good learning experience for sure.
Awesome. Well, we'll have to see what other stories we have for you guys once we get further along. Hopefully I will not be so tired once we figure out how to actually do all of this.
I think one thing is like you have to go into work, but then you also have to study, and it's just difficult.
You don't even realize how exhausting it is. And you think it's not going to be that tired because you're like, oh, I'm just basically just following people around. Like I'm basically a shadow. And it's still, then you get home and you're like, oh, but it's 5 p.m. I just want to relax. And no, you have to study, and it's so tiring, but we're getting the hang of it. We're getting to it. We got this. I
think also after being like at home for months and like being on, you know, online school and stuff, it's like even just hard to get out of the house and like be away from home for a whole day. So
real pants. Kia hasn't done that in months, you guys.
I mean, I wore scrubs, so basically I still haven't worn it. I did today because I went to an outpatient clinic, but
and then you're going to start doing outpatient Zoom, so you're not going to put real pants on anymore.
Exactly. So one day of pants was basically the vibe right now.
I'm jealous. I'm so jealous.
Okay, we're going to finish up. I got one question that I think we can answer. And so I'll just read it to you. So this girl wrote to me, she said she's applying to med school in the next cycle, which I'm assuming is this cycle. And she was wondering, do you recommend living with your parents and commuting to school, living on your own, or living with a med school friend? From your experience and your friends, which do you think is the best way to focus on med school?
Ooh, that is such a great question, because we, between the two of us, did a lot of those options. I think it really comes down to who you are as a person and who you are as a studier. Because there's a lot of people I know who lived with their parents, and a lot of people I know who lived with other roommates, and that was fine because
yeah, we had people in our class doing all of these options.
So there's no perfect right or wrong answer. I think for me personally, I live with a non-med student roommate. Now there's two of them. And for me, that comes with like a lot of pros and cons. We were already friends before I started med school, and I was already in this stable place. So it came with a lot of stability and support and understanding. And like, that's really important. And when you start med school, it's really good to have like a good, steady place that you can go home and feel like safe and at ease, because you're just stressed all the time and like you want to be able to go home and relax. But it also can be hard because they're not in med school, so they don't really understand the hours, and they don't always get the schedule, and they don't always understand, you know, why I'm gone for 14 hours a day, or like they haven't seen me. And they are great about it, and they definitely are understanding and has taken time. But I think that's one thing you need to be aware of if you are going to live with other people who aren't medical students, especially if you're a person who studies at home. I don't study at home for the most part, so it doesn't bother me to come home to them, you know, watching movie or cooking dinner or whatever. But I know people who do like to study at home, and that really stresses them out to have people doing non-studying things in their space. And I mean, they're allowed to do it too. It's their house, but like, that's things that you need to like come to terms with. If you're expecting to study at home, don't get a roommate who's not in med school and who doesn't understand.
Yes, I totally agree. And I love to study at home, which is why I chose to live alone when I came to med school, just because it was like way easier for me. It was the first time I had lived alone, but I like really, really enjoyed it. I'm like very particular about my space and like have all these cleanliness, like, I don't know, potentially psychological problems, but that's for another time. But I really kind of value being able to come home to like a quiet, clean space where I can just like do my own thing. And so that made me really happy to be able to like have that independence and that like not have another level of stress added to my life that like comes with having a roommate or comes with living with someone. So
yeah.
That was my personal decision and I'm really happy about it. And I also have a significant other who lived like not with me. And so I just didn't want to like bother a roommate with like having him visit all the time and like having to deal with that kind of dynamic too. So those are the reasons why I chose to live alone. But I think also living with your parents and commuting can be a really amazing option, especially cost-wise, obviously. And also just like, I mean, I didn't obviously live with my parents in med school, but like being at home with my parents during COVID and like studying for STEP and then attending like online med school, it was honestly really nice. Like there's so many things that you don't have to worry about when you're at home. Yeah. And you're obviously saving money as well. So I think if that's something that you like are interested in, you have a relationship with your parents that will allow you to do that or your family members.
Yeah.
I think that can be like really, really valuable.
Yeah. Ain't no shame in that game. Like,
yeah, truly.
That, if that works best for you, I could not stay at home for more than a week. And that's just how it is. But I also like couldn't live with my friends for a week. Like, I just need my own space to study, and we're all very different in that way. I will say a lot of people in our class came in and lived with other medical students, primarily, you know, other first years. And I've seen both sides of that coin, where some of the relationships, it works really well, and those people are best friends, and it's awesome because they have a support system and they understand what each other are going through, and like, they are all on the same schedule. But then I've seen other sides where like it becomes competitive and it can become toxic and it can become a little bit like a hostile environment. And you never want your home environment to be hostile, because medical school is so hard as it is. Like, you need a space to come home to. Even if, like, I'm not a home studier, but I still like cherish coming home and having like a safe, clean place where like I don't have to worry about stress. And like, that I will say is one nice thing about having non-medical student roommates. Like, they're never competitive with me, and they're never like, oh, what did you think on this question after the test, or like, oh, like, did you do this, or how much are you studying? Like, that's something that I really don't do well with, and having medical student roommates I think would be really hard for me. But some people thrive, so I think that comes down to you and knowing, like, do you want to have medical students, do you want to talk about medicine most of the time, or do you want to have your own space, or like maybe a friend or a family member that you live with that like can give you some sort of outside perspective a little bit more.
I feel like a way to determine that is, like, when I was in college, I never wanted to have like a pre-med roommate or like a pre-med friend as a roommate. I always had roommates who were like doing totally different things, because, you know, when you come home, you don't want to have like that added stress of like, oh, we're competing, we're in the same class, like I'm seeing this person studying, but I just want to watch TV. But if I see this person studying, I know I have to study too, because like there's just that pressure, that level of pressure there if they're like in the same field, or especially in medical school, everyone for the most part takes the same classes. You all have the same exam on the same day. So I feel like that's even compounded in medical school. Like if you're living with someone in your class, you're living with them, you're going to class with them. And like,
it's a lot. Tough,
but it can be really, really nice if you have a good relationship with someone, but
if you're worried about it in the slightest, I wouldn't risk it.
I agree.
If you have the financial capability to live by yourself or live with someone else or your family, I would recommend that, just because for me, it would be so risky to like take that chance and have it turn out negatively.
You can decide later on that you want to live with one of your friends that you meet during your first year, right? Like you can come in and like live with your parents for the first year and then like
figure out you like are compatible with on that level, then you could move in.
Exactly.
You never know when you move in with med students. You could get a whole lot of stuff.
Yeah, this is very true.
But we're excited for you to start medical school.
Yes, congratulations on applying to medical school. It is a difficult process, but you got this.
And wherever you end up, you'll be happy. And yeah, if you have any more questions as you get further in the journey, let us know.
Yes, send them our way to That's What She Med Pod on Insta. We are always happy to receive questions from you guys. And thank you so much for listening to us ramble about our lives.
Yeah, it feels good to get back out there and just ramble for hours.
We love it.
We love it, you guys. So keep tuning in, like us on Instagram, throw us your questions, and we'll talk to you soon.
Bye, everyone.